Last night, I was told that I didn't have a very good beginning to my sermon. So my brother Mark gave me an inspiration for the beginning of my sermon. So if you are under 18 years of age, get a piece of paper. The title of my sermon is called The Shunammite Woman. So if you hear the word Shunammite or Shunam, mark it down. Write your name on the piece of paper and turn it to me at the end of the sermon. And if you are close to the correct number, next week in the appropriate box out there, you will get a surprise. The good thing about it is Barb is going back to visit her sister, so I can pick out any surprise I want. So, if you have a bulletin, or I heard that's a good use for the prospector, get it out and write on it and mark down how many times I say Shunammite or Shunam. If you are 18 or older, you're a responsible adult. And the sermon today is going to be found in 2 Kings 4, 8 through 37. That's my text for today. This is the text for today for the purpose of following along with the story. It is an incredible story, so if you will want to get out your Bibles and follow along, there are lots of lessons to be gained from the story, and at the end I will review those lessons so that you can mark the words in that story that will trigger these lessons to your memory in the future. The Shunammite Woman, 2 Kings 4, verse 8, we'll start out with. This is one of the many adventures of Elisha. Did you know that he had a double portion of the spirit of Elijah? You know which was first, Elisha or Elijah? Elijah, yeah. And as we will see in the story, that he is very much the type of Christ in the Bible. By type of Christ, I mean similarities to Christ. Verse 8, read along. It happened on one of those days that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, notice notable woman, and she constrained him to eat some food, so as often as he passed by, he turned therein to eat. How do you get Jesus to come to your house? You constrain him, beg him. You ask, you plead, seek, and you shall find. Grab him, tackle him, wrestle him. Who in the Bible spent a little more time with Jesus just because he wrestled with him? Anybody know? Jacob, yes. Okay, Shunem is in the middle of the Promised Land. When the children of Israel were to drive out the Canaanites, they didn't drive them out completely. One of the nations left there were the Shunammites. They were friendly people. They were considered a very bright and beautiful people. You remember when they were looking for a young maiden to take care of David in his old age, they finally found one of the most beautiful girls in the kingdom, a young girl named Abishag, the Shunammite. Now, who was first, David or Elisha? David. David was first. He was in 1 Kings. This story is from 2 Kings. So, I'm wondering in my mind, could this person actually be a relative of Abishag? That's one of the things I want to find out when I get to heaven. It's a lot of stuff. Okay. It tells us she was a notable woman, a prominent woman. What is a notable woman? She was great in the community, intelligent, and respected. She and her family had some substance. They had servants and land. But she had a heart for God. That is how I want to be known as notable. Elisha went on a circuit through the lands of Israel to visit the schools of the prophets, to teach and to encourage. She thought, we got a man of God, and he has a relationship with God, and he is passing by. Let's give him some food. In the scripture, it talks about Paul and Silas. Lydia also was a great woman. She constrained them to stay with her. What happened to Lydia and her family? They learned the truth. They were baptized, and they were saved because she had brought the man of God into their home. Do you remember the story of Rahab? Rahab invited the spies to stay with her. She received them, and because she received these two messengers, she and her family were saved. If you remember, Rahab was also in the lineage of Jesus. Does Elisha still pass by today? Elisha is a type of Jesus, and Jesus still passes by today. Many people miss a blessing because they do not invite him in. He just passes by. Did Martha and Lazarus invite Jesus to stay with them? And were they glad they did? Their brother was resurrected because of that. Jesus still passes by today, and he wants to abide with us, but we need to make a place for him. 2 Kings 4, verse 9. She says to her husband, look, now I know this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the roof. It was not uncommon for the people to have a way to walk up onto the roof in Bible times, and they would sometimes eat meals up there. They would go up there in the cool of the day. Remember, Peter was praying up there when he had a vision. They went upon the roof when they let the man down through the roof to see Jesus. David was walking on the roof of his house when he got in trouble watching Bathsheba. She said, we already have a second story. Let's build a room up there for this prophet. This upper room, the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room. Jesus had a new covenant in the upper room with his disciples. Verse 10, let's make a place for him. Let's put a table to read and eat, a chair, a lampstand, and a bed to rest in. Simple but comfortable. A high place, a place of prominence, and we want him to stay there whenever he is around. Now, if Elisha represents Jesus, do you have a place in your house for Jesus? Do you want him to abide there? She said, when this man of God is near, we don't just want him to stop and eat, we want him to abide. We don't just want him to have a meal with us, we want him to dwell with us. Now I'm going to stray a little bit here and stop the story to put in a plug for Dennis Page and his wife Melody. Did you know that he's a minister in training? He's attending Pastor Therese Mission College. He will be graduating this month, and then he will be moving into a permanent pastoral job. That means he will only be with us for the next two Sabbaths. So, stop him and his wife, thank them for what they have done. Melody has been working with the youth, and her music has been a blessing. Dennis has been giving Bible studies, lots of Bible studies, and working with the new members of the church and giving sermons and helping a lot with the evangelistic series that we had put on by Mission College. Anyway, they are headed to a future of service to God, and we were a part of his training ground. We were fortunate to have them, so let them know we will miss them, and they are welcome back any time that they come by, and we will be praying for them. Also, did you know that Larry and Chantal Bangs have housed them in their upper room? Literally upper room in their facility. I don't know the blessings they have received for this, but I know it was very helpful. For Dennis and Melody, during his training, lots of similarities to the story we're going to hear. As you read on in the story, you will see not only did Elisha come to her house, but she also went to his house. Verse 11. It happened one day when he came there and turned into the upper room and laid down there. This is an old man wandering around Israel. Who is it that made a place for him? Is it an Israelite? Or is it someone who is not even a Jew? It was probably made him sad that his own people didn't even say, "We want to make a place for you." But it was one of the heathen that said, "I know who you are. You are a man of God." The pagan woman knew who he was. The children of God got the truth, but they don't know how important it is to invite the man of God into their home. And Elisha is so overwhelmed, and evidently they don't speak the same language, because you'll notice as you read it, because he speaks to her through Gehazi, and he says this to her, and she communicates back and forth to Elisha through Gehazi. She brought him upstairs and opens the door, and there's a table, a window, a lamp, some flowers, snacks, etc. She wanted him to feel welcome so that he would want to stay and would stay whenever he was in the neighborhood. "That is where I am stopping," he would say. Hospitality, she had it. Is your life disrupted when Jesus comes, or are you joyful, wanting him to make your life a place where he wants to abide with you? Does it make you nervous when you see Jesus passing by and you say, "I hope he keeps on going"? Or are you thinking, "Oh, I hope he stops here. I want him to move in"? The Lord doesn't just want you to know him. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants you to make a place for the prophet. Do you have a place for the prophet in your home? She did all this to take care of Elisha. Real hospitality, she had it. Verses 12 and 13. Elisha called Gehazi, and he said, "Call this Shunammite woman." And when he called her, she was standing in the doorway. She stood before him, and he said to him, "Gehazi, say now to her, 'Look, behold, you have been concerned for us with all this care. You demonstrated love. You have rolled out the red carpet. You made us a home. What can we do for you?'" "I want to do something for you," he was saying. If Elisha represents the Lord, and this woman represents the church, and the attitude every Christian should have, and when we welcome the Lord and want him to abide with us, he is saying, "I want to do something for you. What is the desire of your heart?" Then he goes on to say, verse 13, "You want me to speak to the king on your behalf, or the general? Maybe there is someone who's giving you a hard time. I know the king. So what do you do when there is a prophet with double the portion of Elijah's spirit that says, 'What do you want?'" If the Lord said to you, "What do you want?" What would you ask for? $1 million? 10 million? When Elisha was asked what he would want, he told Elijah, "I want a double portion of your spirit." When the Lord asked Solomon what he would want, he asked for his spirit, wisdom. And now Elisha is saying, "What can I give you? What can I do for you? I want to let you know how I appreciate all your hospitality." What do you think this Shunammite woman asked for? She did not ask for anything. She said, "We don't need the army. We don't need anything from the king." You know what that really says? Number one, She was a very humble person. And number two, she was not doing it for a reciprocal favor. So often, when others do something, they expect something in return. Jesus talked about that. He said, even among the heathen, when you do something for someone else, you expect something in return. That is not a characteristic of God. Unconditional love is God's character. He pours out blessings on the good and bad. She said, I do not want anything except to know that you are comfortable in my house. I want a relationship with you. I want the presence of God that you exude to be in my home. She said, I know this is a holy man. How did she know Elisha was a holy man? She saw that Elisha carried around with him the atmosphere of heaven. She said, I want that in my home. That is enough for me, and I'm not asking for favors. You know, nothing makes the Lord happier than for you to say, Lord, I want you in my life. I want you in my heart. Not because of what's in it for me, but just to be able to be with you. Do you know how many people are accepting Christ because they want some fringe benefits? This is very important truth. It is appropriate to say, I accept Jesus because I want him to forgive my sins. I want eternal life. Some people accept Jesus because it is presented to them that if you accept Jesus, he will heal you physically. He will make you rich. He will give you victory over your enemies. Those are fringe benefits. A lot of people buy into a very selfish, very self-centered form of Christianity. What is their reason for accepting Christ? Shouldn't it be that we just want His holy presence in our lives? What is the ultimate promise of the saved? God will be with them. What is the final promise of Jesus? I will be with you. That ought to satisfy us. Sometimes we ask Jesus to be in our lives to be happy. Jesus wants to be in our lives for us to be holy. Ultimately, God is not trying to give us all of our desires. He is trying to save us from our sin to be with Him. But then Gehazi notices something. Verse 14. Then he says, what is it that should be done for her? And Gehazi whispers back to Elisha, actually, this Shunammite woman has no children and her husband is old. Something like the predicament of Abraham. Verse 15, and he said, call her back. She's already gone downstairs. She comes back upstairs and she stood in the doorway. Verse 16, and he said to her, this time next year, you will embrace a son. And she says, no, my Lord. Why does she say no? Does she not want the son? She is saying, no, you are kidding. Don't say that. That is the big vacuum in my life. We have no heir. We are wealthy but have no children in our home. Don't say that unless you mean it. Don't tease me with that. That is what she was saying. Yes, that is the biggest desire she had in her life. No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your servant. That would be too good to be true. In Bible times, one of the most important things any family could have is children. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them, was the attitude back then. They did not have Social Security. In order for your name to go on, you needed children. In order for you to be taken care of in your old age, you needed children. God told Abraham to go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. Now she stood there in the doorway when he makes this promise to her. About this time next year, you will have a son. He told her the gender, which showed that he was a prophet of God. He had a 50-50 chance of being right, But he was right. Standing in the threshold was where the blood of the lamb was applied. Wasn't it in the doorway? And the fact that she was standing there in the doorway when she receives this promise of a son, what does the son represent? He was a type of Christ, which will become clear as we go on in the story. Verse 17. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. What did Elisha predict? The right time and the right gender. Elisha is a type of Christ, and his word never fails. Everything he said is going to happen. So the child grew. Every time Elisha would come, he would stop with Gehazi to visit the woman. They would stay in the room. It was a time of rejoicing. He would tell them what was going on with the schools of the prophets. He would watch the boy grow. He would probably bring him knickknacks and gifts. And he got to be Uncle Elisha for this boy. There was a love relationship between him and this family. Elisha lived up in Carmel, and evidently every Sabbath she and her family went to the prophet, and he would have a gathering of people and would preach and teach. This will become more plain later on in the story. Verse 18. So the child grew. Now it happened one day he went out to his father, to the reapers. This miracle son is out in the field with his father during the harvest. This is another way that he is a type of Christ. Christ was sent into the field, the world, by his father. Christ is out in the field working. Where should we be? Out in the field working. Verse 19. Then suddenly, for no explained reason, the boy begins to cry out, "My head, my head." And the boy was holding his head. This may have been some form of meningitis, or it could have been a sunstroke. He was out in the sun working with his father, and the father didn't think it was very serious. What do fathers do when dealing with a sick child? Take him to mom, right? Carry him to his mother, verse 20. And when they had taken him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon. She is rocking him back and forth, and he doesn't get better. He stops breathing and dies. Oops, out of time. You will have to come back for part two to hear the rest of the story. Do you know what happened to the boy? Does he live or does he die? Yes, we know what happens. But in my study of the woman of Shunem, I found something that was very incredible, so you won't want to miss part two. We all know what happened to the boy, just like we all know the plan of salvation that God has for us. But we have to accept it and believe it and allow Jesus into our lives to receive it. We all want to receive his plan of salvation. My hope for you today is that you will allow Jesus into your house, put him in your upper room, your mind, and make him welcome there daily. Let's review the lessons we learned today. Number one, Jesus is at the door walking by. How do you get him into your home? Invite him in. Plead with him. Circle constrain in your Bible. Constrain him to come in. Number two, when Jesus comes into your home, what do? Invite him to stay. Abide with you. Circle that, abide with you. Make your home ready for him at all times. Also by the upper room, I also mean your mind. Number three, if you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto Jesus. Invite others into your home and feed them. Circle, invite, and home. What happened to Lot when he invited the strangers at the city gate into his home? Number four, do not invite Christ into your home for benefits. Just being with Christ is the best benefit. Do you really know what it means to be with Jesus? Forgiveness of sins, eternal life, health. Eye has not seen nor ear heard the wonderful things that he's prepared. So just being with Jesus is the benefit we want. Number 5, bad things happen in life. You can circle the fact that he died. That comes with living in a sinful world. God has a plan for your life in spite of all the bad stuff here on earth. So don't let the bad stuff cloud God's plan for your life. So stay faithful to Jesus, keep him with you, and next sermon, the rest of the story. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for the wonderful story of the Shunammite woman, the lessons we've learned today, and the other lessons that we can glean if we just give our heart and mind to you to let you use it fully. Bless all of us as we go out today and to help others feel welcome to be here in the house of God, to feel welcome to want to abide with you. In thy holy name, amen. I want all the kids to have their name on a piece of paper that needs to be their full name if they want their surprise.